tonight, nuclear escalation. U.S. intelligence now says North Korea can now put a miniaturized nuke on a missile. A dangerous milestone as President Trump makes a jarring threat in return.
And as I said, they will be met with fire, fury, and frankly, power, the likes of which this world has never seen before.
Tonight, what are the U.S. options? An alarming rise in colon cancer deaths among younger people. Doctors baffled about what's behind it. Hollywood in fear as a major hack attack gets bigger. Big names wondering who's next. Nightly News begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening and thank you for being here tonight. The crisis with North Korea reached an unsettling new level today with news of a possible major breakthrough in Kim Jong-un's nuclear weapons capability and the most provocative statement yet from President Trump, who met North Korea's recent verbal threats with this chilling threat of his own.
North Korea best not make any more threats to the United States. They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen. He has been very threatening beyond a normal statement. And as I said, they will be met with fire, fury, and frankly, power, the likes of which this world has never seen before.
The president painting a dark and ominous image on the same day NBC News has learned that U.S. intelligence now has reason to believe North Korea has managed to create a nuclear warhead small enough to be launched aboard an intercontinental ballistic missile. Our Andrea Mitchell begins our coverage.
The alarming warning tonight from a U.S. official briefed on the Defense Intelligence Agency assessment, telling NBC News Kim Jong-un has now constructed a miniature nuclear warhead small enough to fit inside one of its new long-range missiles, a missile that could reach the U.S. mainland. A major line crossed. The dictator has before shown off what he claims to be a miniaturized nuclear weapon. Now he may have built one.
Doesn't appear that there's an immediate threat to the homeland, but the problem is he's beginning to perfect all of the elements of the ability to deliver a nuclear device to the homeland.
The speed of the regime's nuclear progress is stunning. U.S. intelligence thought it would take years to get this far. But just 11 days ago, North Korea launched a missile test that could reach all the way to Chicago. And now they may have a miniaturized weapon as well. How did U.S. intelligence miss the timing?
The underestimation of the pace of this program represents a real blind spot as well as a danger for the United States.
There are still big hurdles for North Korea. Crafting a warhead that can survive re-entry into the atmosphere and testing its accuracy to hit a target.
Ignition.
Recent West Coast missile defense tests have successfully shot down a missile over the Pacific, but the system cannot be counted on to be 100% accurate. While this is just one intelligence assessment, the fear is North Korea is on track to solve the technical challenges sooner rather than later.
The North Koreans, if they proceed on their nuclear program, will figure out how to miniaturize the nuclear device, which they have shown that they know how to detonate, miniaturize it and put it on top of an ICBM.
Tonight, North Korea threatened Guam, while some lawmakers are slamming the president's comments, Democrat Dianne Feinstein calling them bombastic and recommending diplomacy, Republican John McCain saying he can't think of any other president who would have used that kind of rhetoric. Lester?
And Andrea, whether President Trump is prepared to back up his vow to meet North Korean threats with fire and fury, the statement certainly reflects the narrow and risky options the United States has to try and halt North Korea's nuclear advances. Our national correspondent Peter Alexander takes a closer look.
Locked in an escalating standoff with a rogue regime and its erratic dictator. Tonight, President Trump is facing the first foreign policy showdown of his young administration.
I think the United States has to be very careful in describing its own objectives. The United States has many military options on the Korean Peninsula, but none of them are risk-free.
Among the options, stay the course, emphasizing diplomacy following strict new UN sanctions with the support of Russia and China, a strategy that likely accepts the reality North Korea will eventually secure the capability to hit a U.S. city with a nuclear weapon. Another option, military action, with limited strikes aimed at North Korean military targets, with American missiles firing from bombers, destroyers, submarines, or even ground-launched weapons. Just last week, National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster not ruling out preventive war.
If they have nuclear weapons that can threaten the United States, it's intolerable from the president's perspective.
But in South Korea, the consequences could be catastrophic, home to 28,000 American troops and 25 million civilians in Seoul alone.
Bad option because it would lead to war in the Korean Peninsula and probably hundreds of thousands of deaths in South Korea, including many Americans.
For President Trump, a defining decision looms.
Well, the White House is doing a lot of talking about the military options. So it's clearly their intention to convey to North Korea that they're not afraid to use it. But the reality is no one's ever used it before because it's such a grim reality.
And tonight, for this unconventional president, often criticized for being impulsive, a decision that, as one former national security official described to me, requires a steady hand and a clear-eyed, coordinated strategy, a crisis with implications that could affect millions overseas and here at home. Lester?
Peter Alexander tonight, thank you. And now we would turn to another major story. President Trump today vowing to win the battle against the deadly opioid epidemic in this country. Though he stopped short of taking his commission's recommendation to declare a national emergency over it. Tonight, NBC's Blake McCoy takes us inside a community in Ohio where this crisis is truly hitting home.
Beneath Cincinnati's scenic beauty lies an epidemic that is rotting away at this community. This past Saturday, Hamilton County saw 22 suspected overdoses in 24 hours, prompting public health officials to issue a community-wide alert.
We're yelling as loudly as we can, and nobody's listening. And the ones that don't listen end up here.
Dr. Sammarco, the coroner here, says she's already seen 313 overdose deaths this year. The county easily on track to surpass last year's record, 403 deaths.
This epidemic is literally killing this community.
Absolutely, yeah, it is. It is. I mean, we have, we used to do autopsies until about noon. Now we're well into the afternoon doing autopsies.
The powerful synthetic fentanyl, up to 100 times stronger than heroin, is often to blame. It's laced in heroin for a stronger high, but is now being found cut into other drugs like cocaine. Christina Locke is a recovering addict.
Heroin was my love, was my soulmate.
Addicted to pain pills at 19, heroin by 27.
It's a total bankruptcy, like mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually bankrupt, like The Walking Dead.
As the crisis drags on, there's growing concern about heroin fatigue.
We can't say that we're not overwhelmed. We are. And it is frustrating to know that you want to help people, but you don't have those tools and resources to do it.
First responders responding again and again in a community ravaged by addiction. Blake McCoy, NBC News, Cincinnati.
Not only are Americans already feeling the effects of climate change, but there's no doubt that human activity is causing it, according to a draft report from federal and university scientists. But will the Trump administration, which pulled the U.S. out of the Paris climate deal 2 months ago, approve that report's findings? Let's get more on this from NBC's Ann Thompson.
Just last week, torrential rains in New Orleans, a triple-digit heat wave in the Northwest, and tidal flooding in Miami Beach. Previews of the future in a United States that will keep getting warmer, according to the Climate Change Special Report. The draft, first obtained by the New York Times, blames man-made greenhouse gases. There are no alternative explanations, the scientists write, and no natural cycles that can explain the changes in the climate.
A thermometer isn't Democrat or Republican. It doesn't give us a different answer depending on how we vote. Climate is changing. Humans are responsible. The impacts are serious, but there are solutions if we act now.
But the Trump administration, which must approve the report, pulled out of the International Paris Climate Accord and is filled with skeptics like EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt.
I would not agree that it's a primary contributor to the global warming that we see.
Is there a fear that this administration will suppress the science?
I think there's a fear, first, that they won't support it, they won't pay for it, and then if it comes out and says things they don't like, they will pretend it doesn't exist.
Under President Trump, climate change has been scrubbed from government websites. Whistleblower and scientist Joel Clement of the Interior Department worked on climate change in Alaska and says he was reassigned to the Accounting Department.
This isn't just a policy debate or a scientific paper. These are people in peril.
The White House says it will withhold comment until the report is final. Ann Thompson, NBC News, New York.
In the South tonight, some 5 million people are under flash flood watches after as much as 7 inches of rain slammed the Houston area over the past 24 hours. The deluge flooded many roads, forcing about 24 high water rescues, according to fire officials. The flash flood watches last through tomorrow morning. In Hollywood, there's growing concern this evening about a high-profile cyber attack on HBO, and now new questions over just how big it could get. The cable giant admits its cybersecurity systems were penetrated, and now it appears hackers may have released unreleased scripts, sensitive emails, and financial records, a threat much bigger than previously believed. Here's NBC's Miguel Almaguer.
Tonight, a second data dump. The HBO cyber attack getting bigger. Some of the cable channel's most popular assets targeted. Hit shows like Game of Thrones and Ballers. Now hackers calling themselves Mr. Smith releasing this ransom message along with emails from an HBO executive. The cyber thieves demanding millions, claiming to have damaging information and several new script summaries.
Hollywood is absolutely on edge about this. I talk to executives across the board who say that this is the worst case scenario. They're flashing back to the Sony hack and all of the damage that was done.
The Hollywood Reporter received the documents by email. It comes nearly 3 years after cyber crooks released embarrassing emails, personal information, even the salaries of thousands of Sony employees.
So the wake-up call is over. The alarm bells are ringing loud and clear. Companies need to be proactive and make sure they take strong postures to protect their environment.
Experts say it could take weeks to figure out exactly what was stolen from HBO. The company says they have no reason to believe their entire email system was compromised. But tonight, all of Hollywood is taking notice. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Overseas now, and word the U.S. could escalate its role in the battle against ISIS on a new front we showed you on this broadcast last night. The Pentagon now considering introducing more air power against ISIS in the Philippines, according to two defense officials. NBC's Bill Neely continues with his rare access inside the fight and has the latest details.
The ISIS fighters holding Marawi have been bombed for 3 months by Philippine forces, guided by American spy planes. But now the U.S. may be poised to strike directly with Predator drones ready at a U.S. base nearby. A new mission possible against a common enemy.
An enemy that fights in ways that is not like most people have ever had to deal with.
The U.S. is also sending more planes. Philippine troops already getting help from U.S. Special Forces and facing ISIS fighters, some of them trained in Saudi Arabia.
The troops have retaken this area from ISIS, but more than 140 of them have been killed here so far.
By an ISIS attack planned in Syria.
Directly ordered from Syria, not only directly ordered, but directly financed from Syria.
As ISIS crumbles in Syria and Iraq, it's opening a new front.
Well, the ISIS message is that we're not just confined to one geographical area, that we have tentacles all over the world.
Their attack caused nearly 500,000 people to flee, many angry at the airstrikes.
It's bad because our house is burning.
Your house is burning and
yeah,
you don't like it.
You don't like it.
American firepower may join this battle soon for a city ISIS still holds and for a region in shock. Bill Neely, NBC News, Marawi.
Still ahead here tonight, cancer warning, the startling rise in a deadly form among some younger Americans, what you need to know about when to get screened. We'll be right back. We're back now with startling news from Journal of the American Medical Association. Death rates from colon cancer are on the rise among younger white Americans, and doctors are trying to find out why. NBC News medical correspondent Dr. John Torres has the new warning tonight.
Katie Rich just had her third child, a boy named Brady, when weeks later she got a terrifying call from her doctor.
He said it's cancer. And he said it wasn't good.
The 33-year-old had stage 4 colon cancer.
It was devastating.
A lifelong athlete, she had no family history of the disease. Her only symptom, pain in her ribs. The new report shows Katie is one of a growing number of younger people getting colorectal cancer. Studying all races, researchers found deaths in white people under age 55 are on the rise, and it's not only the result of more screening.
This increase in incidence is real, and it's scary because we don't know what's causing it.
Colonoscopy is currently recommended beginning at age 50 for most people and repeated every 10 years until age 75 for those with no risk factors, every 5 years for other screening tests or when colonoscopy finds small polyps. But today's startling report has some doctors rethinking those rules.
Should we be screening at an earlier age?
For the patient with a family history, you should be screened 10 years earlier than when the loved one got their colon cancer.
People should also know the symptoms, including changes in bowel habits, pain, cramps, or unexplained weight loss. Now age 38, Katie Rich is cancer-free. And after years of grueling treatment, she and husband Will had another baby they named Hope. Dr. John Torres, NBC News, New York.
There's plenty more ahead tonight. Coming up next, the ritzy neighborhood where mansion owners are outraged after something was bought right out from under them. Tonight, Broadway is mourning the loss of acclaimed actress and singer Barbara Cook, the soaring soprano whose career spanned more than 60 years, from starring roles in musicals like Candide and The Music Man, and later as a performer in sold-out cabarets and concert halls, continuing to perform nearly right till the end. Barbara Cook was 89 years old. In a wealthy San Francisco neighborhood, a street fight has broken out, quite literally. Mansion owners say they were shocked to learn the private street they live on had been sold for $90,000. The city auctioned it off after the Homeowners Association hadn't allegedly paid the $14 per year tax in decades. Residents who may be forced to pay for parking now are petitioning to rescind the sale. And a photo that made us laugh today that a lot of moms and dads can probably relate to around this time of year. That's Alabama mom Jenna Willingham celebrating the first day of school. Her three kids clearly not sharing in the excitement. They actually snapped the photo on Sunday, and it's been shared thousands of times. Mom says it's the first time in 11 years she hasn't had a kid home during the day. We say cheers to Jenna and all the other moms and dads out there who could use a little me time. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That's Nightly News for this Tuesday. I'm Lester Holt for all of us at NBC News. Thanks for watching and good night.